All right, welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, Tuesday edition. Five victories in a row, and this podcast is growing a leaps and bounds here on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, here with Dynamic Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com, and the man of the hour himself, Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, who resides, of course, at JoeBucksFan.com world headquarters, where he eats all the potato chips and everything that isn't nailed down to the ground. And Ira, a couple things about your podcast today, Ira. First, before anybody says, hey, I can't hear somebody on the microphone, or says, hey, Joe, invest in a third microphone. Right now, this podcast is actually recorded in stereo.
So I think that's a beautiful thing.
You're going to need, it's not necessarily a beautiful thing. We're going back next, soon we won't be in stereo anymore. But if you have just one headphone in, use two or use your speakers. We're not screwing up. You need two earpieces here. So now that business is out of the way, Ira, the Buccaneers, five in a row hasn't happened since 2002. I personally had no doubt that this game was over in the bag early. As soon as at halftime, the Saints came out and didn't score, I was like, you know, this Bucs team has got it locked down. They're winning. The defense is just too good. Lee's over here freaking out next to me.
Did you say that before or after you put down the Bananas Foster, Isbitz?
I've actually never had the Bananas Foster here.
I don't have it either.
Stadium. I've never had it.
You know, Steve, I'm telling you, the last couple of weeks, gentlemen, I believe the Bucs are checking off new boxes. And by that I mean the box that says win when you don't play particularly well. They didn't play a great game in San Diego, and they certainly didn't play a very good game on Sunday, at least half the units. And they got bailed out. Complimentary football. That means when one unit's not working well, they get picked up. Special teams, Mr. Anger, who is a very savvy pickup from Jason Light. Let's give him his props. Unless all you Shum fans out there are disappointed. But, guys, any way you slice it, Anger's a major upgrade. And when you win games as closely as the Bucs usually win, every little bit helps. So, Lee, I know you want to talk about the coverage teams as well, obviously. But the Bucs didn't play a particularly good game on Sunday. And they didn't play a particularly good opponent on Sunday. Let's be honest about that, too. They won the turnover battle 3-0. Penalties galore for the Saints, but the Bucs have already shown they may not win when they get 23 penalties from the opposition. So five in a row, Steve. They're going to go to Big D, and they are going to be in search of tying the franchise record for winning streaks in a season, which is six. And Isbitz, as much as you're trying to now jump on the bandwagon and say you knew all along that they were going to reel off five in a row after they were 3-5, we're not buying it over here at Joe Bucks Fan, Mr. Isbitz. We're just not buying it. Now, Lee, did you also think they were going to win five in a row? You might as well jump on the bandwagon.
Absolutely not. Yeah, and I think I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. I was having a discussion with a fellow scribe of our, not of ours, but a fellow colleague, and he came up to me and he said, I got to quit picking against the Bucks. And I said, you and I are in the same boat. I said, I keep waiting for the old Bucks to pop up and reappear. Gentlemen, this is not the old Bucks. This is a new Bucks. And in particular, the way this defense is choking out people, to use Warren Sapp's words. I said that to Brent Grimes. He loved that term, choke out. And we'll talk about that in a moment. You can set me up for the punt coverage teams. And right before I talk about punt coverage, I want to compliment you on Chris Russo last week. You're the only person I know who would drop the word erotic on Chris Russo.
That has made a big, big impression on DeCamper. Steve, that's the third time he's mentioned it.
If you're throwing this to me, I'm already mad at you, Ira, for a couple things.
First of all, not the word erotic.
I don't care about the word erotic. First of all.
But with Chris Russo, it's.
First of all, I don't understand where you're coming from with this stuff. You've bought into the baloney of the Dirt Cutter regime here with this complimentary football. Okay, let's get it real here. The offense sucks, okay? It's terrible.
You mean in
right
this
now.
Game?
In this game. That's not complimentary football. You know, when your offense stinks and the defense carries you. I mean, come on. Complimentary football. It's just a big buzzword for everybody plays well, win in three phases. Today, against the Saints, they won in two phases of the game. That's not a complimentary football. That's just great defense and special teams won this ball game. So the Bucs haven't played a lot of complimentary football in some of these games.
Steve, you want to quibble about words, and I'm pointing to the scoreboard. They're 8-5.
Oh, they're 8-5. All right. Well, then let's get excited. And
erotic.
Lastly, let's not get erotic. Let's not here. Get erotic. We're all in a tight room. It's
going,
a small room.
Keep going, Steve.
Lastly, Lee and I are on the most popular hour in Tampa Bay Sports Radio with the big dog, JoeBucksFan.com hour every Wednesday. And I said there on Wednesday that I'm all in. I believe the Bucs will win out. And so, no, I had no lack of belief that the Bucs would win today. I think they'll beat Dallas, and I think they'll run the table. I really do. I believe
so that
the team's
they close with an 8-game winning streak, Mr. Isbitz.
Whatever you want to call it, that's what
the opposite of Lovey.
You know what was the importance of Sunday's game? And obviously, you know, every game's important down the stretch. But you got to look at it like this. If they would have lost that game, and for a while, it looked like they were going to lose that game.
Oh, I told Isbitz about five times in the second half they're going to lose.
Steve, if they would have lost that game to a bad football team that's now 5-8, they're going nowhere, New Orleans. And then they lose in Dallas, which most people think they will.
Then they're SOL.
Then they would have been done.
Yeah.
It would have been done.
Uh-huh.
And the last two podcasts would have been what might have been, and the springboard towards 2017. And instead.
See, I disagree with you.
No, you don't disagree.
Well, this team never trailed. The Bucs never trailed today.
Trailed? Don't you believe in momentum? Don't you believe in the way
it
the
looked
game's
like
going,
it looked like the Bucs were going to lose. Unless I'm reading my sheet wrong here, they're winning 13-0. They won 16-11. This game was over early.
Early? They did nothing after the first quarter.
Don't tell me.
Absolutely nothing.
Neither did the Saints.
Well,
thanks to the Bucs defense. I'd still take Drew Brees over Jameis Winston any day of the week.
They got Drew Brees.
They got a guy who's the second best quarterback in the NFL. I love Ben Roethlisberger. He's not Drew Brees. I love Russell Wilson. He's not Drew Brees. Eli Manning's not Drew Brees. There's only one guy that could brag he's better than Drew Brees. That's Mr. Brady. Drew Brees is a first ballot Hall of Famer. How many times, especially on this stinking field, have we seen Drew Brees need a touchdown with 2 minutes to go? He has the ball. What's he do? He gets the job done. I mean, that's like nothing. That's like I wrote this story on Sunday on JoeBucksFan.com. Drew Brees scoring in the last 2 minutes with the ball is like Wilt Chamberlain walking into a disco in Los Angeles in the 1970s. Scoreboard, baby.
He's back with the erotic again.
Yes, the erotica has returned. Now, in all seriousness, Ira, just as a Bucs fan and as somebody covering the team, somebody even just looking at this on a helicopter view, the Saints never gave a whiff in this game that they were going to win. Never gave a whiff.
But the Bucs the Bucs stopped being aggressive and did nothing for the final three quarters.
I don't know if it was
on offense.
And to try to hold off Drew Brees when you end up scoring 16 points and you think you're going to beat Drew Brees, that's not easy.
This is a recipe for disaster with Drew Brees. That's why I thought, sure, they're going to lose. Like, you know, you keep kicking field goals, pardon me, you keep giving the ball back to Drew Brees, sooner or later this guy's going
to
burn you.
It's 2-1 here, but you're outvoted here because the Kemper's on my side.
Well, I have the classy answer. And speaking of class, Ira, your podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and our friends at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Yeah, you know, we've got a brand new graphic for you on the website. You like the new graphic, the new look?
It's beautiful.
New presentation?
Absolutely beautiful. It's in stereo and everything.
No. The same picture.
Oh,
it's
I
the
know,
same. You've
I
seen
know.
The picture. Well, anyway, of course, they present all of your work on JoeBucksFan.com, your columns Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
I've been wearing the shirts to the ball games.
Always.
I got the Buck color.
You're always sporting your Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon gear. And, it's December. That's the time to go to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. I bought my pre-owned vehicles there. Not Cadillacs, but fantastic selection. But Cadillac is where you want to be during the season's best event. Take advantage of Cadillac, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa's lowest prices of the year and get the ultimate gift of luxury, Ira. Be the one of the first to lease the first generation 2017 XT5 crossover for a limited time, Ira. Only $399 a month with zero due, just sign and drive.
I don't know if
sign
I'm good enough
drive.
To drive that car, Steve. I might not be man enough for that.
You are
that
the
might be too much car for me.
You think so?
I don't know. That's high cotton, baby.
Because that's got juice. That vehicle's got juice.
That's
like
got juice. Like Doug Martin.
Doug Martin. Well, we'll talk about that next.
Right, you see how I throw these things in there.
But speaking of rushing, rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. And, of course, see dealer for details, all the great details EdmoresCadillacTampa.com and EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com.
What a spokesman you are, Isbit.
No, you're the spokesman. I'm just reading the cue cards, Ira. Just reading the cue cards.
Now on to Doug Martin now, Lee. Now, what about this idea that the line's not opening holes for Martin? Yeah. He can't get to the second level. What is going on with their high-priced primary back?
Thank you for teaming up. And before the people listening all of a sudden are screaming, Doug Martin hater, let me get a couple things straight. First off, I like the muscle hamster. Number one.
Hold on, Lee. Your microphone is off.
It's on.
Now it's on.
All right. All right, keep going, Lee.
Okay, let me get going on Doug Martin. The Bucks fans think I'm a hater. I'm not even close to a Doug Martin hater. I like Doug Martin. The effort is there. Because the couple touchdowns he's gotten in the last couple weeks, how he got out of that scrum is beyond me. The effort is there. He's turned into a ferocious blocker for Jameis Winston. That's a good thing. The Bucs place very high value on that. Matter of fact, there's a couple reasons why a certain running back on his team isn't playing that much, and a couple of running backs are pulled off the street because they could block so well. So that's a big thing with the Bucs. Now, right away, the whipping boy of the Bucks with Bucks fans immediately as a unit is the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line is the reason why it's basically the fake news of the NFL, blaming the offensive line. I mean, it's like you hear, you know, Hillary still whining about the
They didn't have their best games. They didn't have Sunday, gentlemen. They did not.
They did not, and I want to get to that, too, and you're correct, but damn it. If the offensive line is a problem, then someone explain to me in great detail why Jacques Rogers has 50% more production than Doug Martin, why Peyton Barber has 30% more production, why Anton Smith, the guy who was on a – he was – best I know, he was a librarian for the best I know. They bring him in. He's got a better yards per average than Doug Martin. Everybody's got a better yards per average. So if the offensive line is the problem, that tells me – which it's not, but if it is, that tells me they're laying down for Doug Martin. That's the only way you can blame the offensive line for Doug Martin's inability to rush is if they're laying down for him. And you and I and Steve know that is the biggest crock of bull spit there is.
Lee's getting revved up like the Cadillacs that they got at Ed Morse over there, Steven.
No, I'm just sick of people always bitching, excuse the language, about the offensive line. It's not the offensive line. Doug Martin is not running the ball that well.
Steve, what I notice about Doug Martin, and I got the numbers to back me up, is he's not breaking any runs. He's not breaking any. And I believe he's got 128 carries. It's a significant number of carries, 128. And that's with his significant injury in the beginning of the season. 128 carries. He's still looking for his first 20-yard run. Steve, that's hard to fathom because part of Doug Martin's salary is because he's had surprising burst as a rookie, as last year, to go along with the 1,400 yards. He breaks a lot of runs. And it hasn't happened, Steve. You got any theories about what's going on there?
Yeah, a couple things here on Mr. Martin. Today, when fans look at the film, they're going to see two very, very poor instances of pass blocking by Martin that led to hits on Jameis. Today was a bad pass blocking day for Doug Martin.
Yeah.
Second, 23 carries, 66 yards, 2.9 yards a carry. That was under his average of 3. Longest run against the Saints, 8 yards. You can argue with the data. You can say, "Oh, he's getting hit in the back." He's getting hit in the backfield.
Can't get going. You know,
he's been tough on the goal line. He has been tough on the goal line this year. Not going to take that away from him. But the reality is, the guy is not running anywhere close to a Pro Bowl level. It's not a coincidence. And you know, Martin has not been running hurt this year. He wasn't hurt before he got hurt, and he came back. He was out a long time, and he came back a little rusty, he said, but he's been healthy ever since.
So you're saying they, as a result, they're facing too many third and sevens instead of third and threes. That's what you're saying.
He's just not running well is what I'm saying. Today they had a chance to run the clock out. Last week they did that with Jacquizz Rodgers. They ran out the game. Today they had that chance. Couldn't do it. And this is not a good Saints defense by any stretch of the imagination. So – like Lee said, we either blame the offensive line, which doesn't really explain why other runners have done well. Charles Sims today.
How do you think Sims played
Sims
today?
Comes back today. 4 rushes, 17 yards. That's 4-plus yards a carry. And
How come the offensive line wasn't bad for him?
He was sharp in the passing game. And he made a great catch that he was out of bounds on. Jameis said he screwed up the throw. Should have been a touchdown. Sims looked sharp, looked quick, looked like he had burst, looked faster than Doug Martin. It's a problem, and we're getting feedback that we're being too hard on Martin. Baloney. baloney. This team needs a running game, and he's not
the guy.
Well,
he's got a big contract, too, Lee. He's got a big contract.
You know, let's be honest here. This is his fifth year in the NFL. He's almost finished with his fifth year. Three of those 5 years, either injury-prone or substandard. I call me an idiot. I call that a pattern. I'm sorry. 3 out of 5 years? Sorry.
Yeah, three yards a carry and no runs broken. Like you said, no broken runs. That's an issue.
Mind you, this is as far as yards per carry, this is his worst in the NFL.
We'd be talking a lot more about this, guys, if the Buck defense wasn't playing so well. So it's not becoming a major factor.
Thank you.
Just like Aguayo, who had a good day on Sunday. His misses haven't come to the forefront as much as they could have, certainly during the streak, because, again, the defense has been the constant, Steve.
If this was a 500 team or less, number one topic on sports radio, nonstop, locally, Doug Martin. I guarantee.
And Guayo would be second.
Guayo would be second, but Doug Martin would be getting skewered on sports radio.
And let's throw the flip side, the positive side, since I'm all in with the Bucs, unlike you guys, I am on the positive side here, Ira.
All right.
If Doug Martin was running well, we would be legitimately talking about a Super Bowl run now. Legitimately. If he was running like Doug Martin of last year, we'd be saying, man, this team has all the elements. And, you know, to at least get in that conversation.
A little short on targets, maybe, besides Evans,
well,
but I understand.
They are.
That.
Now, let's go to that, Ira. You are the custodian of Canton. This is your podcast presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. And I'm going to ask you what's really the question of the day for Bucs fans. We're 16 minutes into the podcast. It's time for the question of the day for your sage wisdom delivered after 74 years of covering the NFL.
You know what I feel like? You know what I feel like saying?
Last week it was 59. Go ahead.
Raha! That's what I feel like Three Stooges. You know, the sage here. Raha!
All right, what's your question, Steven?
All right, the question is, the Bucs obviously are a legitimate playoff contender. The question is, does this team have enough offensive talent to even make noise in the playoffs, let alone win a playoff game?
Probably not. Because they're going to have games like they did on Sunday when the offense fizzled for the most part, and they're going to play a team that's a lot better than the New Orleans Saints. And you're going to see that Sunday night in Dallas. You know, the Bucs better keep the chains moving because it's very tough to keep Dallas from keeping the chains moving. They have a very dynamic offensive line, the best in football. I don't think anybody's close. And a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back who are fighting for certainly rookie of the year honors, and if not MVP honors for the league. So to answer your question, Steve, probably that they're not going to do much damage if they get in the postseason. But you know what? No Buck fans are going to complain about that.
Oh, they get into playoffs, this place is going to be bananas.
This postseason drought's lasted, you know, since 2008. And last time they made it was 07.
Much less a win.
You know, now look, I'm the guy that said they were going to go 7-9 this year. That's out the window.
Hey, I said 8-8, and my Vegas bet has been won. So
I still think they got to do get to 10, and I think they will get to 10.
Okay,
Steve, I'm not down on the Bucs. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
As far as the offense, Steve has a very good point. And I asked Cutter in his press conference. You know, obviously the offense struggled tonight, especially the second half. I asked Cutter. I said, "All these reserves you're playing now, has that finally caught up with you?" He flat out said no. To be honest with you, I think he's just publicly sticking up for his players. Because, you know, if he says, yeah, you know, I think you're right, well, then he basically threw Freddie Martino's band in renown and Josh Huff under the bus. Now, no coach is going to do that.
Not one of Winston's better games, Lee, on Sunday.
No.
He was okay.
He was okay, but I really believe all those reserves being played now, it's catching up with him. I really believe that. Because Mike Evans, the Saints did all they could to take him out. They weren't worried about Martino. They weren't worried about Josh Huff. Like Steve said, Shepard got hurt right away early in the game, got dinged up. He played later.
Steve, should they force the ball to Evans even a little more, even if he's covered?
Well,
I think there's something to be said about that.
That's a great question, Ira. Great question on the Ira Calvin podcast.
How many targets did Evans
Sage
have?
Sage question.
Raha.
How many targets Sunday?
Mike Evans had 8 targets Sunday, 4 catches, 42 yards. Here's the thing, okay? If we want to look at numbers, Ira, the Buccaneers, outside of Evans, they got 3 catches from wide receivers, 3 whopping catches from wide receivers for 43 yards. Now that's terrible. Okay, that's terrible against what might be the worst pass defense.
I believe it was the 31st ranked pass defense.
It's a terrible pass defense. Terrible.
Yeah. Yes.
And no separation, no nothing. And you would think, yes, to be successful, and you called for this in your 10 takeaways on JoeBucksFan.com after every game, you write your takeaways, you called for them to pump that ball to Mike Evans for a huge night in Dallas.
I think so,
and
yes.
We all know that if this team does get to the playoffs, whenever that playoff game comes, they are going to throw to Mike Evans 14, 15, 16 times because you might as well go down with your big gun.
I think he's either going to come up with the ball, Lee, when he's covered, or he's going to draw a flag, and he's good at that too.
Like today.
Like today. That was a critical flag. Led to the touchdown run by Doug Martin. I'm going down with Evans. I'm with you, Steve. He's a guy like a Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. Even if he's covered, I'm throwing him the football. I'll take my chances with Mike Evans.
Now, I'm wanting to get in there about the offense. I want to get this in there real quick. You know, we were talking about Doug Martin's struggles, and I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com Sunday evening about, God, Sir Charles was terrible. I mean, or as Charles Barkley would say, terrible.
Well,
I mean,
Smith wasn't any better, Steve. Donovan Smith wasn't any better.
Early on, he struggled. Early on, Donovan, but Charles was getting ragdolled. I mean, I had so many people on Twitter, and like I said, this is, you know, it's almost like Boy Who Cried Wolf. Every week I get flooded on Twitter. Steve and I get flooded on Twitter. The offensive line. And you know what? I'm going to start looking at Charles. I only saw him three plays in a row, but I mean, he got worked over like a ISIS member in a Russian prisoner of war camp or something. It was brutal, man. It was like a high school right tackle out there. I mean, it was sad that the 1 yard loss by by Jacquizz Rodgers late in the third quarter. They were marching. The Bucks were marching. Got dropped for a 1 yard loss. Cameron Jordan. Grabbed him, and when I say ragdoll, I mean ragdoll, just flipped him. I'm just like, this is just like you take a scarecrow, just flipped him and hammered Rodgers.
That could have been a very big play.
Yeah, I mean, holy cow. But, and then, of course, when I wrote that story, well, now you know why. You still think it's Doug Martin's problem? Yeah, because guess what? These other running backs ran behind Gotster Charles, too. And speaking of Charles, there was one time Martin ran up the middle. It wasn't Gotster Charles, I'm sorry. Martin ran up the middle. And Steve pointed that right away. He goes, there was a wide open hole right to his left. I don't think he's reading blocks. That's the problem. You know, why is he getting hit behind the line of scrimmage? I don't think he's not reading blocks well. He's stalling, getting to the line. And, of course, if you stall getting to the line, someone's going to pop you.
Steve, let's focus on really what's been going on the last 5 weeks. And we can't get around it.
Defense.
The defense. Now, Steve, you were standing with me in the locker room on Sunday when I was talking to Brent Grimes, and I had Brent Grimes buttoned up over there all by myself. Were you there when I asked Brent Grimes what happened after the Falcons game to make changes during this 5-game winning streak? It's like night and day. Were you there when Grimes said maybe we needed a game like Atlanta to wake us up?
I was not there.
That was one heck of a line by
Interesting.
Grimes.
Interesting, yeah.
And it will be regurgitated in my column, of course. But a lot of people are weighing in on that the embarrassment, which followed the Oakland game, which is bad enough.
But this is national TV.
To a team that makes 23 penalties. But then, you know, Matt Ryan takes you apart. Guys wide open all day long, Steve. That's an embarrassment.
For all the nation to see.
And I waited for Mike Smith after Sunday's game. And I got him. They waved me into the coach's room.
Oh.
Which is you know, they
rare
covered up
air,
the
rare
yeah
air.
They covered up the food and they waved me in you know Mike Smith came out and I said, you know, Mike, you know, let's stop this nonsense about all the simplification. That's the answer during the 5-game winning streak. There's got to be more to that. And he said, we came in and we had a discussion. And I said, and you listened or you talked? I listened. And he wanted to hear what the players had to say, Lee. And as many years as Mike Smith's been in this league, Steve, he can still learn a few things from the players. You better listen with an open mind because they're going to tell you and they're not going to sugarcoat it. And they wanted certain changes. I think they wanted a more aggressive scheme, Steve. I think it's been a lot more aggressive.
Sure. Well, every player wants to play more aggressively.
You know, now they're getting a lot of hands-on balls, and it's not a coincidence. Not a coincidence. I thought the best defensive play of the day to me was Kwon Alexander. I thought that was a fantastic deflection by Alexander. Did you see how many yards down the field he was on that Drew Brees pass, which I believe was for the tight end, Fleener? He must have been 30 yards downfield. Mm. I saw Shelton Quarles, you know, and I covered Quarles with the great Buck defenses.
Sure.
And Quarles' forte, you know, he was only about 220 pounds. His forte was pass defense as a middle linebacker. He would take a deep drop in that Tampa 2. Now, they don't play Tampa 2 exclusively now. But that Kwon, and I said to Shelton, you know, did Kwon Alexander remind you of yourself in 2002 with that play? He smiled and said, of course. Hmm. It was a tremendous play. And I thought Alexander was outstanding all day long. He's a very emotional player, Steve. But when he gets himself under control and channels that emotion, boy, he can really take over a game. I thought Alexander was outstanding.
Yeah, look, he's an excellent football player. And, you know, you throw in the fact that he was a fourth-round pick and he's 22 years old. Very exciting piece of this team. I was glad to see Lavonte David get off to an early start in this game, get him going a little bit early.
And Steve, now they're playing in December with Kwon Alexander as opposed to last December. Makes a difference.
Oh, you mean with Alexander?
Makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on here with this defense. I thought Gerald McCoy had a hell of a day. A lot of pressure, a lot of heat, a little more consistency.
It was a
third
down play, Steve, when Brees was passing out of his end zone. McCoy broke totally free in the fourth quarter. That was a big play. You know, that play was snuffed out, that pass. I think it was deflected at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
but McCoy made the play.
Noah Spence deflected it. McCoy made the play. Chased him.
And McCoy made a big third down play in San Diego, Steve. So he's not all over the stat board, Steve, but he's making contributions, McCoy.
No, he's playing good football. Good football.
By the way, I like Noah Spence, Steve. I mentioned it to you at halftime. I said, this guy's the anti-Gaines Adams. Gaines Adams, he had one move. You know, Daquan Bowers had one move, and that might be giving him one. This guy's got a lot of moves. He's got a lot of finesse to him, Spence. And he better because he's not a big guy, Steve. But I think within a year, I think Noah Spence is going to do a Vic Beasley. And by that, I mean Beasley's a monster.
Yeah, he's turned into a monster.
Yeah, he's a monster.
Well, I can say today that Drew Brees knew who Noah Spence was. He was in there all the time harassing him. Didn't get any sacks. Got his hand on him a few times.
And you know, this is a topic that Steve can't get away from. Mike Smith has resurrected himself as a viable head coach. And I mentioned it to him. And I said, I said, Alex Marvez already is on Twitter talking you up as a potential head coach candidate for 2017. And Smith and Steve, you could have predicted this. He went like this. He shrugged his shoulders. Ira, that's the last thing on my mind. Well, it's not the last thing on his mind. I'm not saying it's the first thing. But when you've had a taste of it, and I know Schiano, for example, you know, people say, well, he could be a college coach. Schiano wants to get back to the NFL.
You think so?
I don't think it's going to happen. But once you've had that taste, boy, it's tough to give up one of those 32 jobs. And Mike Smith, and I think he deserves a second chance. I think he did a very good job in Atlanta.
Well, look, most good NFL coaches get a second chance. Most, the majority. And Mike Smith had a hell of a run walking into a program in Atlanta that was in complete shambles with a rookie quarterback. So teams know he can mold a quarterback, that he can take a woe-be-gone franchise and steady the ship. And
then they drafted bad, and it caught up to him.
And
yeah,
he won a crap load of games. He got him to the NFC Championship. And then they had some rough times, and he's out. But he had a good, very good run. He had a winning record through that whole time. And he's a legit candidate. Plus, look what he's done here. I mean, look at this defense. This might be, Ira, and we're going to tap your sage wisdom. Lee's got a lot of sage wisdom as well. We'll tap that.
That's better than erotic, Lee. Go ahead. Keep going.
It rhymes with erotic.
All right, all right.
But here's the deal. Is this the greatest mid-season turnaround of a defense in the history of the NFL? It might be.
Wow.
It might be, Ira. Now, there's no official stat on that, but look where this team came from.
They were lousy.
1,000 yards allowed combined to the Raiders and the Falcons, and now 5 games in a row.
And you're
elite. Not just good, elite. And the stat, your stat, which I've been building on.
And I keep updating it.
I think I've written it 3 times already today on Sunday night.
During
this five-game winning streak, seven total points allowed in the fourth quarter.
That's
total.
Correct.
I said that to Brent Grimes, and he said to me, he was tying his shoe, and he looked up, and he stopped tying his shoe. He's like, that's dope. That's what he says.
That's dope. That's raha, whatever you say.
Real quick, I'm going to throw this word out there before you answer, Isbitz. The Bucks defense, until this turnaround, was woe be gone.
Nice. Nicely. To answer your question.
Best in history, Ira?
Well, I don't go back to 1920, gentlemen.
With George Halas.
Curly
Lambeau.
It's remarkable. Lee, it is remarkable.
Very much so.
When that Atlanta game ended, they were 3-5. They're at the season midpoint. Like Steve mentioned, that's 1,000 yards to the Raiders and the Falcons. Everybody, every Buck fan in the world, and the three of us, were all saying, what's going on with Mike Smith's defense? Has he lost it? Mm-hmm. Has Smith lost a touch? Mm-hmm. Has he been away for a year and then things have gotten away from him? We've asked that question about Lovie Smith many times, right, Lee?
And it has with him.
And Steve asked, you know, Steve's right. And I said to a bunch of guys in the locker room, five games is not a fluke. It's five
games. That's a pattern.
So here come the Cowboys. You know, we'll talk about that in the next podcast, Steve. But they're playing with a lot of confidence, Lee. Now, Isbitt said this game was in the bag from the first quarter on.
No. I said it was in the bag the minute New Orleans came out in the third quarter and the Bucs shut them out, no problem. It killed their momentum. It proved the defense was just going to be too dominant. Now, keep going there.
This game, as opposed, you know, as good as Phillip Rivers is, he's not Drew Brees. Lee, you said Brees is number two in the league. Yeah. I think you're right. Brady's one.
Yes.
You know, and Brees is two. And let's be honest, Brees doesn't have a lot around him.
He's got nothing. He carries that team.
He doesn't have a lot around
him. No.
You know, Brandon Crooks.
Yeah, that's about it.
You know, he's missing Jimmy Graham. He doesn't have him. Marquise Colston's gone. I mean,
Mark Ingram,
You know, Ingram with a running game. They didn't run well today.
No, they did not.
You know.
Outside of a couple occasions, you're right.
Steve, that's why Lee and I both thought, you know, this game could be lost. Because of Drew Brees. That's why. Not because we had doubts about the Buck defense, but you're facing Drew Brees. He must have 45 fourth quarter rallies to his credit. So when you're facing that, Steve, and you keep giving them opportunities.
Not only keeping opportunities, but you're keeping your defense on the field. And they're going to get worn out sooner or later. So I thought it was all adding up to Brees with
now,
a comeback.
We haven't talked about Keith Tandy. What's going on, Steve? I mean, is there any rush to bring Chris Conte back at this point?
Let's hold off before we start anointing him as the next John Lynch.
But he's making plays.
He makes plays, and he also botches plays, too. For every spectacular play he makes, there's two or three botched plays he makes.
The Kemper putting a little perspective on it, Stevie.
Well, look, he's had a couple of good games for on a dominant defense. Beyond that, I don't know. The guy's a backup. He's a legit NFL player. He was playing behind Conte, who isn't exactly a Pro Bowl material. You know, it's a nice story.
McDougal playing a little bit better?
Yeah.
You know, I think he is.
Tandy's not proving. When a guy comes off the bench, you wonder if he's going to be a liability. He hasn't been a liability.
Against the Rams, he was.
Thing. Against the Rams, yeah. Now, these last couple of games, he was terrible against the Rams. You know, it's nice. I don't think there's anything more to it. I don't think he's like some hidden gem or anything like that, if that's what you're asking.
All I know is they kept Drew Brees out of the end zone. Lee, how often does that happen?
Well, I looked this up.
Now, they didn't play well against the Lions last week either.
No, I looked this up. And it's not like the Lions are chopped liver. They're leading their division. They're going to be in the playoffs. I looked this up earlier. Only twice since 2005, I believe, only twice has Drew Brees gone consecutive games without a touchdown. This is one of those two. Last week, he didn't play well against the Lions. Lions kept him out of the end zone as far as a touchdown pass. He did not have a touchdown pass. Same with here tonight. That only has happened once in the past 10, 11 years with Brees. That's how rare this is.
Steve,
hey, you
want to
hear something funny?
Go ahead.
You know, we have a lot of fun commenters on JoeBucksFan.com. So as I'm talking to you, I'm actually approving some new comments. You know, if people haven't commented before, they have to be.
Anybody using the word erotic to describe this podcast?
I don't think so. There's right. some, actually a commenter here named Lovely Lisa who's saying, never mind. this guy, I'll read it to you right here. The first time commenter
this
on
is
Joe
an unedited comment.
Unedited. Right. He writes, you know what I'm sick of hearing? Keith Tandy isn't a starting quality safety. Maybe he wasn't, but the kid plays smart, technically sound, and he trusts his reads. last 2 weeks. He has sealed games. Maybe it's time to think about him as our best safety.
I'm with Lee. Two games does not make a career make.
Exactly.
You know.
Happy for Tandy.
He's quality depth.
I answered this on Twitter. Someone said, are you going to finally say that Tandy ought to be starting? I said, let's see what happens when Connie's healthy. That'll tell you.
Steve, you haven't weighed in on number three. I will say this. I believe I'm correct on this, gentlemen. This is the first time, certainly as a pro, that Winston has not either thrown or run in a touchdown. And I believe he also never missed a game in that regard in college.
What,
I believe
games
it's
straight?
55 games.
55 games.
Yeah, you're the guy.
Games.
Yeah, you said it went back to high school, so I'll trust you on that. But I'll say this about Jameis. And look, not a great game for him. Not a great game against this defense.
Poor decisions, inaccurate. What'd you say?
Well, as the coaches said, got to look at the film. I mean, he had a couple of bad throws, but every quarterback's going to have a couple of bad throws. Just not his best.
He didn't
day.
Seem to get in a rhythm, Lee.
No, he didn't get in a rhythm. I don't know if Steve agrees with this. No, I'll just go back to what I said earlier. I think all these reserves that are playing is finally catching up with him. I mean, there's a reason Fede Martino was working Vero Beach Ramada in.
There's a reason Shepard was on special teams.
There's a reason why Josh Huff couldn't get a permit for a gun. Well, I mean, it was just, you know, there's a reason for that.
Well, I think one of the best things that illustrates Lee's point, Ira, is Fede Martino, 4 catches in San Diego. Okay, they needed him.
He contributed.
Him. They needed him. Very they relied so. On him. He contributed. Today, he wasn't even on the field much. So, I mean, Cutter knows that these guys are... You know, he's pulling stuff out of the closet and trying to dust off stuff. And Dante Dye, I'm sure we'll see his
Brake does a
debut.
Nice job. No problem with
Brake.
Yeah.
Brake.
But I mean, that's a guy they've developed for a couple of years. To compare Brake and Martino, let's tap the brakes.
Let's not let the Huff off the hook. Here,
all in
Steve.
All,
let's not let Huff off the hook. Horrendous play.
Horrendous play almost cost him the game.
Horrendous.
They were that far away, Byron. I'm putting my thumb and my index finger about a quarter inch apart. They were that far away from putting the game out of reach in the first half.
Feeling good about holding Breeze to a field goal at that point, Steve. 13-3.
Yeah, stupid
feeling
play.
Good. You know, kickoff, get the ball at the 25. Not a problem.
Beyond stupid.
You haven't lost momentum. And then that play happens.
Yeah, dumb stuff. And you know what?
Beyond dumb.
I challenge you, Ira. I challenge anybody listening. After that Huff screw up where he heads the ball like a soccer player out of bounds at the half yard line, look at the handoff to Doug Martin. And look how Martin doesn't hit the hole hard and he misses the hole a little bit to the left of where he hit the line. That was not his hardest run, where you need your hardest run on the half yard line. A little bit of an important illustration about just why Doug Martin isn't the same guy. But Huff, you know, I mean, Lee and I didn't expect anything from the guy.
Just don't hurt us.
Don't hurt us. And he did. Big time.
You know, they've had some weird point. I mean, think about that Seattle game. Luke Stocker with the safety penalty, and then this Huff thing and another safety.
And he dodged the bullets.
That's some weird stuff.
Aguayo 3-for-3, Steve.
Hey, God bless him. You know, hopefully he's over it. You know, maybe he saw a witch doctor or, you know.
Do you think some Buck fans thought that he should have brought Aguayo out for a long field goal attempt? That could have made it an 8-point game. I thought Cutter did the right thing.
I agree.
Well, I think Cutter did the right thing because the defense has been so dominant. Would you rather hand the game to this defense or to Mr.
You miss the field goal, you get it 7 yards further back. You're giving Breeze the ball on the 40.
Yeah, exactly. You're at midfield. Breeze at midfield. That's a recipe for disaster. When that happened, it never even crossed my mind to use Aguayo for that very reason.
But somebody in the press box where I sit,
I know who
said at that point, if you don't bring Aguayo out, why is he on your football?
Well, but that happened to be the same guy who's always broadcasting to no one in particular?
Don't know.
No comment.
I don't know.
But that's moronic because the Bucs are up by 5 points. So no matter how you slice it, you're still up by touchdown. I get it, but it was not the call. The guy, Aguayo, has no 50-yard kicks this year.
Steve's right.
His longest is 43 yards. Yeah. And every game before they go out there, they check the wind. They figure out, okay, what's his max kick for the day? And the coaches know that, okay, we're going this direction. Aguayo's at 52 yards. That's why Cutter in his post-game conference said we were right at the edge of his range.
Yes.
And that meant for today's game. So I mean, why would you throw a 50-50 shot for Aguayo when you can give it to the defense?
Did anybody
It'd be worse than 50-50 probably.
Lee, did any?
Yeah, I'm being generous.
Yeah, that's right. Did anybody think Cutter should have used some timeouts towards the end of the first
half? Debatable.
To try to squeeze one more possession
termed,
out for Winston?
Steve termed it perfectly. It was a game of chicken between Sean Payton and Dirk Cutter. Who was going to call the first timeout?
Payton didn't handle that very well.
Payton didn't call his timeouts either. And it was, like I said to Lee, it's kind of like a game of chicken because Cutter's like, all right, well, I'm not going to call him. And Payton is like, I'll let it run down
and
on
you. Payton ran out of time.
Yeah, he boxed himself in, yes.
So, in that chess game, Cutter won. Cutter won the chess game.
And earlier in the year, he was losing those chess games.
Yes, he was.
And you could argue, sure, he should have called his timeouts to get a shot to score, but he played it right. So, I mean, that's football. That's the game here, Ira. So, all right. So, Ira, just to reset.
You got him winning in Dallas. That's all I know.
What's your this is your podcast, so I don't want to hear from me anymore. I'm sick of me.
What? I think they win two out of the next three and they make the playoffs. You want me to say it? I just said it.
All right. Bucks win two out of three. They make the playoffs. What's your mindset now? Now that you don't have to play play games pretending to be whatever you were at the Tampa Tribune. I'm not knocking Ira here. I'm saying, what's your excitement level? You believe? You're a fan?
Well,
your juices are pumping?
I got a high five from Will Golston after the game.
Whoa, that's significant.
I'm going to put that in my diary tonight.
Were you able to reach him?
couldn't reach him. I got his belt buckle, and he wondered what I was doing over there.
He's not friendly with the media at all.
He's tough.
He's not a bad guy. He's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's the best way I could turn it.
But I did talk to him in a lot. Steve, everybody around here is excited. Everybody.
Including Pulaski.
We've been, this franchise, and you read my columns more than anybody, this franchise has the worst cumulative record of any of the 32 franchises.
Is that right?
In existence.
History.
The 385 winning percentage going into this season. So, of course you're going to get excited when they're 8-5.
So the custodian is pumped up.
I feel good about Mike Smith. Because this might help him get another chance, which I think he deserves. I feel good for Jason Light because I think he deserves a little reward for some fantastic drafting. We're not going to talk about free agents, although Brian Anger ain't too shabby, gentlemen. Not too shabby.
Great year for free agents. For Light.
And Ayers is starting to play.
Yes.
He's starting to play. And Grimes has been solid. Got no problem with Grimes.
He's always been solid, I thought.
And the players like McCoy that have suffered, guys. Guys like McCoy.
David,
Dotson. Who didn't play on Sunday. These guys deserve a little limelight. And, one guy I'm warming up to, I think he's a good interview, and he's nasty. Who's nasty out there?
Ayers.
Hawley.
Oh, yeah, he's a great
Hawley's
interview.
Nasty, Steve.
He's a great interview.
And I mean that in the best sense of the – no, I mean as a player.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, he's got the edge to him as a player.
And the Bucks haven't had a lot of guys like that.
Would you see I'm not deviating from Hawley. I saw Mike Evans was getting roughed up. Hawley runs up there, and he was going to start jacking somebody.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing I loved about last year, Ali Marpet, when I was up at Washington at the Capitol collapse. Yes. I termed it the Capitol collapse last year.
Yes.
I should have got a copyright on it. And not Will Goldston, but Hawk Goldston. He was kind of roughing up Jameis. And here's a guy that's been a Pro Bowler before. He's a savvy veteran. Ali Marpet, Mr. Division III, runs right up to Goldston and then slams him for messing with Jameis. Of course, he got a flag, but Ali Marpet, message sent. Don't mess with my quarterback.
The Hawk's out of football, isn't he, Ali?
This season, yes. I think he got cut somewhere.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think he's out of football.
I don't remember.
Yes. They're going to win 2 out of 3. They're going to make the playoffs.
To your point, Hawley is a smart guy. He's got that nasty edge to him, which I think the offensive line needs.
And
great interview.
Sweep the Saints like you should, and I think they will. And then who knows what kind of motivation Carolina is going to have the final week. They're ready to pack up.
Yeah, they're ready to pack
go
up.
Home.
Yeah.
They had a big resounding win today against the Chargers. Beat them up pretty good.
They did, but I think the Chargers are the same way, playing for nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't expect a big effort out of Carolina. I don't even know if Kuechly and Newton will play in that game.
Did Kuechly play today or is out again?
I don't know.
I think he played.
Okay.
I think he played. You got to win in Dallas. We'll see. We'll talk about that later
the
in the week.
The fact that Kuechly did not, and this is not a Kuechly issue, but the fact that Kuechly was out 3 weeks is ominous for Adam Humphries.
Yes.
I think.
Steve, they are not. The Bucks are a national story. I've got a little story that I'm not proud about, but I'll share it with our listeners. On Saturday, I was set up to talk to Vic Carucci, Moving the Chains. And they had me all set up at 12:30.
Sirius XM NFL Radio.
On Saturday.
And Kerwin? Saturday, that's not.
No, no. It was Carucci and some. And
Balzer, probably.
No, somebody I didn't know.
The
I
guy
think.
From the Jets.
And I forgot all about it, Steve.
Oh.
And I didn't hear the phone ring. And I got home at 1:20, and I see a text. We've been trying to get you. And I text back to the producer, am I too late to go on? And the answer is, we're all booked up now. Try you next time. I didn't even apologize. That's the custodian of Canton. Just keep going. No apology for not answering my phone. But you know what?
You and Dirk Cutter.
If the Bucks are 5-7, I'm not getting that call.
No, you're not getting that call.
Now you're like Barbara Streisand, who, of course, you attended
the
event. You know,
everybody, look, everybody, including Britt McHenry, who's one of Lee's favorites.
It got quiet in the room.
They're all doing their interviews with Winston. Mm-hmm. Bradshaw flew in for two hours.
Peter Schrager.
Literally, Steve, 2 hours. Bradshaw was in. He caught the next flight out.
2 hours with
two
Jesus?
Hours. Woo. No, I'm saying he was in town for two
okay.
hours. He went back to the airport. Caught a flight 2 hours later. Went back home.
Texas,
so
right?
Everybody's swooping in, and it's not going to change now with them playing Dallas. So
it's going to be more so.
The Bucks are a national story. Light's in the bunker. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. Joel Glazer's in the bunker. He never wants to talk to anybody. But
Would you stop texting him 24 times a day?
He's going to get an order written on
him. But Dirk Cutter has to do that serious show, right? He's got to talk. And you monitor him like nobody's business, Lee.
Well, that's because Steve and I pay for it. That's because Steve and I, we pay for it. Nobody else has the whatever, cojones, if you will.
And you're gonna go on Dumig this week, and he's going to take some pot shots at Aguayo or whatever.
He's a big Aguayo guy.
Well, yeah. Steve's first thing Steve's going to say to Dumig is, I got the Bucks running the table. They're going to finish at 11-5. And Dumig might throw you out of the studio.
I told him that last week. I survived.
Boy.
I
called him a flag waiver.
All right, Ira, you're
usually a cynic, and now
I'm all in. No, no more cynic. I'm over it. I'm over the hump. I've turned the corner.
If they lose to Dallas, are you going to lose any faith?
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. Okay. I mean, I don't think for a second that they won't show up physically and competitively. They might not have enough weapons to hang with Dallas, but I'm not worried about it. Really, Dallas, we'll see. You know, we're here. We're recording this Sunday before the game's over tonight. Dallas Giants and.
What do you think of their chances of beating Atlanta atop the division, Steve?
The Bucks? Yeah. I've told you for a long time, I think their best shot is winning the division. But, you know, I haven't looked at all the last tiebreakers. If both teams win out, they'll be tied head-to-head. They'll be tied division record. They'll be tied conference record. So I think we go to common opponents there, and I haven't looked at that yet.
So if they do win the division, they'll be the third or fourth seed. Right? It looks like.
Yeah.
Third or fourth season.
But Seattle's choking like a dog.
Yeah, you're right about that. And that would guarantee a home game
for
the first
playoff
game.
They'd probably either get...
They would not get a bye if they're number three, but they get a home game.
They would get either, the way it stands now...
They could get Green Bay.
No. They'd get either, most likely, as it stands now, they'd get either Atlanta or the Giants. Okay. Now, the Giants coming in here like they did in 07, that would be special.
Green Bay's getting hot, though, Steve. Watch out. They're playing good.
Well, Rodgers just blew a hamstring again.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got hamstring issue.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But we're talking playoffs deep into December. Deep. All right, Custodian.
We'll get into the Cowboys, right, on our next podcast.
Yeah, we'll get into
Steve.
The Pat Cowboys. We'll get into more of your erotica and all the things you do.
you and Russo.
But, of course, that has nothing to do with your fantastic presenters at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and EdmoresCadillacTampa.com.
Steve, are we going to be at Abe's place for the Cowboys game?
Yeah, we'll talk about that more on Thursday. Yeah, we're going to be there. Actually, in the bowels of the stadium, Ira, bowels of the stadium before the game, I come in and I run into the woman who was sitting next to you at Abe's. Believe it or not,
how did she get in there?
She works. She works at the club level.
Yeah, she works as a bartender.
I thought you said she worked at the club.
club level.
She works here at Raymond James Stadium, and I've seen her here a couple times before, and I said hello, and she's looking forward to sitting next to you again. How about that?
We got a reserved seat, Lee.
There you go.
Strange women around Tampa.
Before you sign off, I got to throw this one liner.
Go back to the custodian.
Go back to the erotica with Russo. But anyway, Steve, he. he starts go waxing, you know, Russo, that show was, they were talking about Pearl Harbor as Pearl Harbor Day.
Just to clarify for our readers, because most people probably honestly don't even know who Chris Russo is.
The nerve!
Ira appears with Chris Mad Dog Russo on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. It goes up against our appearance with Steve Dumig on WDAE, so we pretend that Ira isn't actually on the show. But he is, so that's who we're talking about.
So anyway, he drops erotica on Russo. He's talking about From Here to Eternity. And I'm like, Ira, From Here to Eternity, what was your target demographic? The Greatest Generation? And then I told Ira, The Greatest Generation. You go to The Greatest Generation, all these guys are in their 90s. So you go to The Greatest Generation, you mention satellite radio to them, they think you're talking about Sputnik.
You're right. We start talking about Jerry West or something, and the readers don't, you know, the listeners don't know who we're talking about. You know, who's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know.
But this one, you're dropping Donna Reed and Montgomery Clift.
This movie's from 1954, Steve.
Yeah,
54.
Honestly, I never heard of it. And you know,
really?
That's, yeah, never
it is a classic movie, but that, I'll just leave it at that. It is a classic movie.
First movie you ever saw was Silence of the Lambs, Steve. Yeah, yeah. You came to this.
It came out in 1954?
From Here to Eternity.
Did you go see that in college?
I was born, my friend.
Right after you watched Curly Lambeau coach the Packers.
Onward to Dallas, my friend.
We're going to get the hell out of here. Subscribe to Ira's podcast on iTunes where it's blowing up. Search Buccaneers or Bucks, and you'll see Ira's mug there. Just subscribe.
And you're going to fix the stereo thing. You're going to fix it.
Yeah, no more stereo next time. It's not broken, Ira. The thing works. It's just, you know.
As long as these people can hear me, that's all that matters.
Oh, they can hear you all right. Yeah,
you know something's wrong if they say they can't hear me.
And I'll say this, Ira, your podcast. And now, if you search Bucks, right now, as of today, Sunday, your episodes, you were holding number 2 and 3 rankings in podcasts there. Kamish, Bucks Uncensored was number 1. But it goes by episodes, so you're climbing.
But the Kamish has got more podcasts this week. He might try to stretch that lead.
You're climbing the ladder. Now, the Kamish, we're going to get the Kamish to optimize his podcast for a Buccaneers search. He doesn't show up there now. But as of today, Sunday, you were number 1 and 2. You passed the NFL, passed Sports Illustrated, head of the Dirt Cutter Coaches Show. You're blowing up, Ira.
Passed Peter King, Stone Loathing.
It's got to be all from the word erotica. That's the whole thing. And this podcast is going to help in that regard, too. Onward and upward, my friend.
You're a sick person, Ira. We will see you on Thursday.